demanded an urgent and horrifying news story.
Now, I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Well, we talked a lot about Sports Illustrated earlier in the week with the whole artificial intelligence thing, writing articles, actually Sports Illustrated creating profiles for these writers. And this is where AI gets you again. Maybe AI was just programmed back in the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season for Colorado Buffaloes football and said, oh, this guy's really popular. That's going to be our sports person of the year. And because they're robots, they didn't follow the rest of the season. They're just robots. And Deion Sanders was named Sports Illustrated's sports person of the year. This is what the headline reads. In less than a year, Coach Prime has not only transformed moribund. I don't know. I've never heard that word. Colorado football.
It's an AI word.
Yeah, it's an AI word. There it is. Colorado football program. I would say morbid Colorado football program. I don't know. What is that? He also breathed fresh life into the campus, SI wrote. Okay. Let's be fair. That's what I've been trying to do with primetime from the beginning. No doubt about it that he breathed life into Colorado. I mean, the marketing stuff surrounding CU has never been better. It was absolutely crazy. And he deserves all the credit for that. He brought in the Louis, and he brought in the speeches, and he brought in the catchphrases. And they won four games. They won some games early. And it was wild. Sports person of the year. Should he have been named the... Now, again, it's Sports Illustrated. I think we're all like, is that even going to be a thing anymore with your robots and stuff doing things?
They are properly getting roasted on social media.
Yeah, because this is a bad one. You know, not a bad one. It's just, well, I guess who should it be? So let's just go through and you tell me if he fits in these categories. 2022, Steph Curry was the Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year. 2020.
I don't have a good argument against it.
No. 2021, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
2022, who won the championship the year before the Nuggets did? Who won it?
The Warriors.
Was it the Warriors? Then there you go. That makes sense. Tom Brady. Well, he won it in 2021. Mm-hmm. Super Bowl.
So, not even Nikola Jokic? This year?
Does he turn it down? Does he want? Naomi Osaka won it in 2020.
I want to say tennis.
I was waiting
on
you.
She was a Japanese tennis player.
Okay. Yeah. It says she's the activist athlete, is what it says.
Fit a lot of people for 2020.
It's funny because it was like Tom Brady's just sports person of the year. Sports Illustrated shows Tom Brady on there. But in 2020, it was the activist athlete sports person of the year. And in 2020, they had two of them apparently. 2020, they had to get a female and a male.
LeBron James,
yeah. The activist athlete. He was listed as an activist athlete. They must do a side. They actually sports person of the year.
2020 was like a weird year.
A weird year. Patrick Mahomes, but it also says the activist athlete. I didn't think Patrick Mahomes was like
right.
I didn't
get much of that.
Okay. I guess 2020, everybody was an activist, kind of, right?
Most people.
So I'm just, okay, maybe we should skip 2020.
Sure.
So just
ignore that year.
Well, okay.
It didn't happen.
Okay, I'll do it. 2019 was Megan Rapinoe.
Goodness.
Okay.
This isn't a ringing endorsement for some of these people.
No. 2018 was just the Warriors.
Okay, yeah. Everyone loved the Warriors.
But it's a person. That's what I always hate when I'm like, hey, I need help with my player of the week this week. Who should we make? It should be the entire offensive line. No. No, come on, guys. Be a little robotic here. The player of the week. Not team. I don't do that. It's the player. So that's weird. Sports person of the year. It's the Golden State Warriors. Dumb. In 2017... Altuve and J.J. Watt.
Yep.
Houston strong kind of deal. 2017. Mm-hmm. Again, it's two people. It's not persons. It's persons. But okay. 2016 was LeBron James again. Yeah. 2015, Serena Williams. Yep. Makes sense. 2014, Madison Baumgartner.
Yep.
Okay. Peyton Manning, 2013.
Yep.
2012 was LeBron again? It's like their go-to.
The second Miami one.
Just go to LeBron. 2011, it's Pat Summitt, Coach K.
Yep.
Okay. All makes sense. Drew Brees before that. Derek Jeter. Michael Phelps.
Yeah.
Brett Favre, 2007.
Whoa.
Yeah. Dwayne Wade, 2006.
Yep.
2005, Tom Brady. I'm just going to go to 2000. I'll stop at 2000. The Boston Red Sox again. They were just a team, 2004, but okay. All right, whatever. Stupid still. Tim Duncan and David Robinson, 2003. Man, we're going back in time. Oh, 2002, Lance Armstrong.
Yikes.
But at the time.
Yeah, no, he's great.
At the time.
Mr. Yellow Shirt.
Yep. At the time, it worked.
I believe.
2001, Curt Schilling and Randy Johnson. Ooh, Curt Schilling putting. That'd be a tough one for them to put on there today. He's very political and not probably agreeing with Sports Illustrated a lot, maybe. 2000 was Tiger Woods.
I was wondering when Tiger was going to show up there.
So we'll stop at that. What's the theme of every name I've mentioned except for this year's?
Players?
Supreme success? Like ultimate success?
Championship?
Championships. I think.
Popularity?
Like Naomi Osaka, did she win? She would have won the Triple Crown or whatever it's called. I don't watch.
Some Wimbledon.
I don't watch tennis. No. It's bend it like a Beckham soccer, isn't it? That's not tennis.
Soccer, yeah.
It's soccer. They don't bend it in tennis, I guess.
No, you could.
Yeah.
Bend the racket.
Yeah. You could do a lot of things in tennis, I guess. I won't be watching it, but you can do them. But I would imagine she's had some success. So Deion Sanders gets this. When we're talking about Steph Curry and LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Brett Favre and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, Tim Duncan, David Robinson, these guys are and gals are winning a lot. There's a lot of success there. Now, so I was wrong this morning when I was talking to Brian and Tanner, and you know Brian was disgusted that he was named the Sports Person of the Year, and I said, well, it's not always about records and success. I was wrong. It takes a big man to admit when he was wrong, Angel, and I am that big man.
I think Deion's the bigger man.
Apparently.
Because he's on the cover of a newspaper or a magazine.
Who should be? I mean, Nikola Jokic? I would agree with you. Why isn't Nikola Jokic the Sports Person of the Year? Did they try? Did they reach out? I would put Nikola Jokic way over. He has a unique story. Oh, and he's a family man. Loves his hometown. Works loves giving hard. Back. Likes horse racing. Pretty low-key guy. Not a lot of drama. Not Nikola Jokic. I think, was it Brian said it? You both have said it. I think you both are right. It should be Nikola Jokic.
I think you put Shohei Ohtani in there.
Sure.
Popular guy.
Go there. I'd go there with you. How about in football?
Bedard for the hockey teams? Connor Bedard?
How about football? From last year?
Aaron Rodgers. Probably.
I don't know if they like him either.
No.
He doesn't. He's not controlled by the system, man. You know,
I'm gonna sit in my cave for 4 days.
I don't think he'd want to do it.
Take horse steroids to fix my leg.
Well, see, I look at a guy like Pat McAfee, who's on TV right now. Pat McAfee's an interesting one because of what he did. He's a punter that became a sports talk show host that he basically just created and put it out on YouTube. And they made this something out of nothing, and now he's contracted with ESPN, and he's making bingo, bango, bongo dollars.
Yeah, he's kind of reinvigorated College Game Day.
Yeah.
Do the punt competition or the field goal competition for like $1,000 or something.
He's like a mixture of Barstool and ESPN. He's a mixture of those. You know, he's kind of like you can't control him. He's not really going to fit into your agenda.
I'm surprised it's not one of the Kelseys, if not both of them.
Sure. Why wouldn't it be one of the Kelseys? Because Jason especially.
Mm-hmm.
Because, family man, they got the podcast rolling. went to the Super Bowl. His brother beat him. That's a unique story. Now he's dating Taylor Swift, and they got a really unique mom, and she's awesome and supports him. Like, that's a cool story. Is there not enough to write about?
I'm sure there's plenty.
Let's see. Dixon says, shout out, or something. Oh, shout out to, oh yeah, Wyatt Eckler. Absolutely, very cool. Wyoming, Mountain West Defensive Player of the Week. Something about primetime getting Sportsman of the Year feels a little icky to me. So many things he does and says seem what sports should not be about. Prime is all about prime. Feels like there are more deserving options. And listen, I'm the guy that is wildly entertained by primetime. I love a lot of what he says and does, and I cringe at a lot of what he says and does. But I'm entertained by him, and I don't fault Rick George in Colorado for going all in on primetime. Let me be clear. I think that was the move, and I like it, and I applaud it. But he won four games, and he's only been there for a short stint. I mean, you're probably looking at the transition from Jackson State to here. It's a big story, but is it? You look at all these other teams, and it's all about success and champion, or these players, success and championships. And primetime doesn't have that this year. Call it what you will, he didn't have it.
If I were to put the biggest sports stories into an AI generator and say, give me the most common theme, Deion Sanders' name would be there just because we talk about him so much.
You think this was AI putting this together?
I wouldn't put it past him. Say, hey, quick, I need an article on the sports person. AI, tell me. Oh, Deion, okay.
Now, had they won, and I'm not even talking bowl game, had they won enough to crack the top 25 and stay in the top 25, I'd say yes. But not for a bowl game. Even 6-7 wins, I would have said no.
I think if they had had one big win in the last month or so, it could have, because they kind of dipped down in terms of talking about them and trending, and they kind of stayed down there because they weren't winning.
Right.
I think, even after the Stanford game, that was a huge disaster. And then if you go in and beat Utah in the last week, and then it's like, oh, you got some momentum going into the offseason. Now it's like, what's going on?
Would you have been cool with this if he would have won a couple more games then at the end?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised.
See, I'm not cool with it because I'm looking at the theme of what the rest of the winners have. They all have a lot of success.
I think it could have been someone else, but I'm not shocked that it's him.
He's
the biggest story of college football this year, outside of the playoff committee.
That's true. You got a couple of quarterbacks in there with Nicks and Williams, and those guys are big stories. But primetime was
the Heisman races. It's interesting, but it's not.
But primetime was the key story, and this whole thing is just this is what I'm fascinated by it because it is such an interesting thing. Good, bad, or ugly, this primetime thing is must-see television for me. The whole seeing players leave and decommitting, like, is that a big concern? I don't know. Right now, I honestly feel like it's just what we're seeing in college sports. I don't know that it's that big. Big Hub says, who else should have been on the cover? We were going over that. I could think of, like, probably 10 off the top of my head when I'm thinking of success and perhaps changing a game a little bit. It would be Nikola Jokic would be certainly on my list, and I'm stealing that from you and Brian for saying that, because I didn't think at first, but now I'm thinking of it. Why not? He's got a really unique story. He's a hell of a family man, and he's a champion. He's a two-time MVP. He loves horses. He's a small town in Serbia, little village that Aaron Gordon said you could walk across in 30 minutes. That's pretty unique to me. That's really cool. Smitty says, I have zero issue with Deion as Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year because SI hasn't been relevant for at least 2 decades other than when they put out the swimsuit issue. That's probably right. Yeah, I don't read Sports Illustrated anymore. I used to. I used to love it. I used to read ESPN the magazine, too. But I quit when a lot of the stories just became so political. And I'm telling you, they were very political. Some very interesting reads, but there was enough saturation in the magazines that were just too political for me that I quit. I like to read unique stories. I don't mind reading political stories once in a while. But when it's so intertwined with my Sports Illustrated, then I have an issue with that. First Advantage text line 888-888-533-0043. Big Hub says he did make an impact He did make a big impact, but I agree, SI isn't big anymore, so why not use Prime to become relevant again? Oh, yeah, maybe that's their way of saying, hey, he's, dude.
We're talking about it.
Yeah, everyone's talking about it, dude. Primetime is, you tweet about Primetime, you say something about Primetime, you're going to get people talking about you. It's the way this goes. I'm looking at the effect last night at Moby. You know how many Rams students were running down to Buffs basketball players and doing the Shador watch thing? I mean, and that sucks because those Buffs players had nothing to do with that. Those basketball players had nothing to do. That's not Tad Boyle's style. It's not his style at all. So, whatever, I guess. I don't, you know, after this, I'll probably be done talking about it. I just thought it was unique because you look at the list of, you know, the last 23 years, 22 years, and for the most part, they've all been extremely successful, and they've all had, like, a pretty successful season leading up to that sports person of the year. So, why isn't it working? Or why are players decommitting from CU right now? I think that that's a discussion worth having.
I think the quarterback commits are very easy to see. It's, okay, Shador's coming back. He's the starter. There's no point in me trying to compete with him. And then I also think it's beyond... We've gotten the flash of Deion Sanders. We've gotten the pizzazz of Prime Time, and we see the results of it. Okay, you're getting a lot of clicks. You're getting a lot of clout on social media. You're getting all the likes and the interactions. That's cool. But are you winning? Because at the end of the day, is this a coach that's going to get me to the NFL? Is this a coaching staff that can develop players throughout the season, not just, I got you out of the portal?
Well, and here's what's interesting too, Angel. Prime Time said earlier, I don't know, was it a month ago? He basically said, we're not an ATM machine here. So if you're coming here expecting to get paid and do all that stuff, then you're wasting your time. Well, now we're seeing the, you know, Matt Rhule talking about the quarterbacks going for $1 million, all that stuff. When you're a player and you hear Deion say that, and then you also see Shador with the watch and the cars and Shiloh, and again, they're already rich. Mm-hmm. So that's maybe unfair, but... Travis Hunter, like those guys, they're making money. They're showing off things. So when you look at it and go, ooh, he's that big, I'm probably going to get some interest from NIL possibilities.
I think a lot of the NIL stuff, it's the star players. It's the Caleb Williams. It's the Bo Nix. It's the Michael Penix Juniors. It's the big guy, big time names. You have your quarterback. You have your big time wide receiver. Maybe you have a running back. Maybe you have one defensive player or something. But not everybody on the team's making millions of dollars.
No, but when you say we're not an ATM, I think you're directly telling them, hey, there's probably not a lot of NIL stuff. And then after that, Primetime's like calling out donors, not in a bad way, but just saying, we need more money. We need more money so we can be an ATM machine.
Well, I think it's these players may see, oh, I may not be able to make a ton of NIL money here, but I can get social media clout out the wazoo. I can be all over Twitter and Instagram
and
everywhere.
If you have a lot of followers, you can sell that and get businesses to support you. The other thing, too, is I know Primetime's saying that he doesn't like that coaches are going around him and saying he's not going to be there, but we all have the news available at our fingertips now. The stuff that we're seeing about Primetime, about the talk about Primetime not being at CU long, they're seeing it, too. So
that's the stuff that's available.
Why would you commit knowing the only reason I'm going to Boulder, and listen, I love Boulder. Boulder is a beautiful town, you know, and Colorado is gorgeous. But when you're a football guy from your neck of the woods, Angel, do you think Boulder? No, probably.
Mm-mm.
Never have, right?
No,
the only reason you would think Boulder now is because Primetime.
Right. I mean, I you know, you talk about these specifically like the O-line, D-line. I mean, these are big guys from Texas, from Florida, from the southeast areas, maybe some from California. They don't want to play in the snow. That's why when you go to the Big Ten, yeah, they have those same type of players, but they're a different type of – they're just a different breed up there because they live it.
Yes, there are outliers. But, yes, typically the best players are from Alabama and Georgia and Florida, correct?
Like
the best players that go on to the NFL to do big things, Yeah, there's something to that. Yeah, there's the outliers like the Josh Allens of the world that played in Wyoming and stuff like that. And there are those guys, but like big offensive linemen? Mm-hmm.
And yes. Like the Big Ten plays towards that style of we need offensive linemen. You're going to have an impact here because we are physical, because we're Iowa and we strengthen ourselves on the trenches. CU, maybe that's not their identity. Maybe that's what they want to go to. But you go to the Big 12. The Big 12 is not that type of conference. They're a flashy offense. We're going to score 50 points and try to beat you type of conference.
Smitty says decommits maybe because there's a belief Deion may not coach after his sons and Hunter go to the NFL. Sure. Plus, the other schools have really stepped up their NIL collectives. I've been told A&M has over $100 million banked. Mm-hmm. Wow. You're hearing this more and more that there are these collectives sprouting up. I think CSU, you know, I've talked to our guy, Mr. Weber, over there with the Green and Gold Guard. I love what he's doing. I love the way he approaches this. And I think some are doing it kind of the right way. And I think some are, let's just get as much money in here as much as possible. And then let's use it. And let's probably be a little greedy with it. Let's, you know, probably do things that are considered a little shady. And I do not think that's happening at all with Colorado State. But you're going to see these schools that really focus on that. And the ones with the big collectives, the big NIL things, are going to be your Alabamas and your Texas A&M. People that just eat, breathe, and sleep. I think I said that correctly. Football or basketball. So I'm sitting at the basketball game last night with Steve Ivey, a great guest of ours, who does a wonderful podcast and a blog. And he's from Duke. Or he went to Duke. So he was, and he's a basketball guy. So he grew up in the Duke, North Carolina thing where basketball was king. And they knew everything there was to know about basketball. They knew the X's and O's. They knew the refs. They knew every assistant coach. They knew every potential recruit. And that is what you call a deep dive basketball fan. You don't have that in the state of Colorado, football or basketball, save for the Broncos. You don't have a gigantic collection of fans like that. If you did, you wouldn't be leaving close games at Canvas Stadium. You wouldn't be leaving if you had that majority of fans. What you have in the state of Colorado, outside of the Broncos, and I'm just being honest, is a lot of pretty casual fans that like CSU, that like CU, and they're into it. But also, it's cold. Also, traffic might be crazy. You don't get that with your Alabamas of the world. You will brave whatever, the traffic, whatever, to go and watch these games and support them. That's also why the donors that donate and promote these schools see the feedback, because the people come to them and like, you support Alabama, I worship you, right? Yep. And that's what you're seeing at Duke in North Carolina with basketball. You don't have that in the state of Colorado. Leading back to Boulder, you don't have die-hard Buffs, donors, fans. You don't have a gigantic collection of them. And even if you do have great donors, do the fans even know what's going on? You could go ask random fans at games. Like, how many random fans were at Moby Arena last night? And I'm not, when I say random, you're not a student or a donor. I would like to know just how many random fans buy season tickets. I'm just curious because, again, you need to speak to random casual fans that are going to worship the ground you walk on if you support the school, the programs and all of that. And that's just what I'm talking about when it comes to collective and money.
Sure, and I think Deion brought a lot of that, but he also brought a lot of contractors and a lot of haters. And it's hard to really find that balance when CU is all, woohoo, we got Deion. And you have a solid majority of people like, I don't like what he's doing. I don't like the videos. I don't like the way he talks to players.
Do you think there were a lot of CU fans that felt that way? Or do you think they, even if they felt that way, they get Deion and suddenly they're like, no, actually, we love this.
Yeah.
You think that there were actually diehard CU fans that didn't like the primetime signing?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Also like, hey, if we have a good football program, that's even good. We're on Sports Illustrated. We have College Game Day here. We're getting the love. We're getting the hype. It's great.
Eastside Chris says, we used to hear, is it live or is it Memorex? Now it's, is it live or is it AI? What is that? Angel, elaborate. Translate.
Maybe you meant memories?
Memory.
Is it live or is it memory?
Memory.
Now it's, is it live or is it AI?
That's what it is, he said, Chris. Angel's got your back. I only read SI for the pictures. Unlike the girly magazines, I read for the articles.
Interesting. Like Teen Beat and stuff like that?
Texter here from Aaron. I love how Aaron signs his texts every time. That helps me so much, guys. Sign your texts unless you're saved in the system. And there's only one way to get saved in the system. You got to text KFK to the text line to subscribe. I think they keep mentioning Deion Sanders leaving Colorado because they're writing about Deion Sanders and that gets you clicks. I think Deion Sanders is committed for his contract to Colorado, and after that it could be a different story. See, our boy Brian Howell, who's our Buffs insider, doesn't think that he's going to be there much after Shador's gone.
I like that Aaron spelled, he used Deion three times but spelled the third one wrong.
You can't be nitpicky with this.
I can't be.
Smitty says Memorex was a cassette tape company in the 80s.
That's before my time.
I was born in 86, but I wasn't listening to cassettes when I was 80s, when I was one or zero. But thank you. Thank you for that, gang. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. No, good text. Keep them coming. I misspell Deion all the time. It's easy to misspell.
Is
I don't know.
I before E except after C?
Something like that.
Or when sounding as... A as in neighbor or way.
Oh, this, look at you. I forgot about that one.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's really... What did we learn today? Some grammar. 12:32. Let's jump out and get a quick break. The Nuggets won. I didn't watch. I think this is my... Was this my first game not watching this year? Felt kind of weird. I almost felt like I, you know, abandoned them. But they did fine without me. We'll discuss next.
Stay up to speed with the Rams with the Isaiah Stevens Show on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Krista McKeo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
The pass into Jokic. Got a man, Porter, and Porter fires the ball. Good. Jokic coming in around Şengün, and he scores it. Jokic rebounds. Pass it out. Porter straight away. Got it again. Missed that. Jokic there, and Jokic drops it up and in. Jokic had to get on his tiptoes then at that time. Jokic. And Jokic throws it down. His second dunk of the season. And Jokic tapping. Put it up and in. On the back cut. Holiday, another beautiful assist by Jokic. Jokic, long range three, stepped into it nicely. Jokic, here goes again, there it goes again. Reggie Jackson missed it, Jokic taps it to himself, out to Christian Brown, 4-3. Yes!
Nuggets win, beat the Houston Rockets, 134 to 124. Coverage there, courtesy of Altitude TV. Got it done. Joker, another triple-double. Calculating it in my head, he has 7 triple-doubles right now. He's probably on pace to get close to 30. Close to 30 on the season. So he wouldn't quite pass. Is it Magic Johnson right in front of him? So I keep, every time he gets a triple-double, I want to go back and check that.
Yeah, so Jokic is at 112. Magic sits at 138.
You won't, he might, if he gets... If he gets 23 more, you know, it's going to be close. He'll get it next year for sure. He'll keep passing him. So Joker, great highlight. Did you watch this game? Did you watch some of it?
I watched the majority of this game.
Okay, so here's what I got from the box score. Joker, good. Jamal Murray, back. Michael Porter Jr. had a good night.
Yeah. there was a moment early where Jamal kind of tweaked his ankle a little bit. He went up for a layup and came down and just kind of like, you know, when you land on like the outside part of your ankle and it kind of just rolls on you. And like, I was watching the broadcast and he was like leaning down. Apparently he was tying his shoe. To me, it looked like, oh God, here we go. I'm scared. And you could feel the tension in the arena. Like, oh, Jamal, be okay. And then he came back out and hit a big three and it was okay. He's good.
16 points for him, 6 assists, 6 boards. Love that stat line, by the way.
22 minutes.
Yeah, 22 minutes. I love that. Your boy, MPJ.
Yes, sir. 7 of 12 from three-point range. Love it.
Is he the best player that's ever existed?
Well, he had 10 rebounds, too, so...
He's up there. Four, five assists?
Five assists?
Yeah.
Never swing the rock?
I didn't even know he knew how to pass it.
He does.
I honestly didn't know anybody ever told him what that was, that you could actually do it in basketball. So I'm just, I didn't watch it last night.
DeAndre Jordan got some minutes.
I know. That's what my next thing was. I was going to ask you because Jordan played 6 minutes and he had 2 points. Is this, I talked about this on my podcast, The Pickaxe to Grind. It's available at 1310kfk.com. Was what we saw with Jordan the other night against the Clippers just awesome night, perfect storm, up for his team, superstars are out, he has one or two good ones in him? Or did Malone miss something? Has he not been utilizing Jordan the way he should be? And my guess is the former is true. It was just an awesome time. It was an awesome time to be had by DeAndre Jordan on Monday night.
Yeah, and it was interesting. He had him playing early with Zeke Nagy on the floor as well, so kind of a big lineup. No Peyton Watson last night. It's his coach's decision. So I thought that was just a little
What is that?
Yeah, he just didn't play.
Just rest, or we're not friends anymore? I mean, what?
You looked at me wrong in the hallway, Peyton. I'm sorry.
You always wonder about that with these young guys with
Malone. Or it could be a matchup thing.
No AG?
Still, no AG.
Is he expected to play? Who do they got next?
Phoenix tomorrow. But it doesn't. I don't think Jamal's going to play, and I don't think Devin Booker's going to play. So kind of evened it out there.
That'd be fun. 8 o'clock game tomorrow night. Get a couple of soda pops if you get my drift, and watch that game. Yeah, ready to go for that one. Be good. Yeah, it was a nice win. Good to get Jamal back. We'll kind of see how Malone works him into this rotation again, obviously starting, but just works into playing more minutes because you just want to be very careful here. You're winning games without him, and then last night playing 22 minutes, you did win some games. It wasn't like all hell broke loose and the bottom fell out. You're 13-6. You're 9-0 and home.
No,
so
you look at the box score and say, 124 points. They only had 3 turnovers, so it's not like they were giving away points to Houston. Houston's just a pretty solid team right now.
Yeah, they're not a bad team. Not a bad team. 42 minutes after the hour, Lemons Heating and Cooling. Hey, get your heater set up, man. I got home from the game last night. I walked across Narnia to get to my car, the intramural fields. I was freezing. Couldn't wait to get home. It would suck to walk in and the heater's having issues. If you're having issues, you think you're having issues, Lemons Heating and Cooling will help you. Free estimates available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Thursdays at Cable's Pub and Grill means Fiesta Thursday. Smothered burritos for $10.99, house margaritas for just $4. Cable's Pub and Grill, you guys know it. That's my go-to. That's where my friends meet. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Couple of interesting stories. You know, that Matt Rhule thing, I wanted to kind of hit that one again, Angel. Matt Rhule saying he prefers developing players over the portal. The reason I'm bringing it up, we already talked about that specific story with Matt Rhule yesterday, but I'm bringing it up again. You're hearing enough smoke about the transfer portal and the NIL. You are hearing so much smoke. And typically, Angel, when you get this kind of coverage, changes will be coming. And I spoke about this on Good Morning NOCO, and I was a little extreme with Brian and Tanner, but they bring the extreme out in me sometimes.
Do it to everyone. It's okay.
I think that we are in for the great awakening of the NCAA. There is no way to fix what has already been put out there. Transfer portal, NIL stuff. You just said the Oregon State quarterback is transferring.
DJ Uiagalelei.
You're my guy on that.
There you go.
You're my guy on that. Just call him Ui or something, man.
DJ U.
Tua.
Tungavailoa.
Yeah, Ua. Tua. Just
his full name is much harder to say.
Mm. You just saw it again. And again, he's a grad student, so he graduated, so he didn't transfer again.
He was the backup to Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
And then he transferred, and now he is transferring again. And I was curious, I thought you couldn't do that.
Unless you graduate.
He's a grad transfer.
If you grad, you can do it. I think that's why you see like a guy like Clay Millen's trying to see if he can bust hump over at CSU and somehow graduate. I don't know how that's possible. You just add 4 million credits.
summer class.
This next semester, I guess.
Summer, winter class.
So enough is happening here, Angel, where we're talking about it constantly. Coaches are talking about it actively. You're seeing players transfer left and right. And NIL deals are through the roof. We actually have businesses now put in place, collectives, to support NIL that are kind of working hand in hand with colleges, but they're also competitors. It's becoming so big, so controversial, that the time is going to come when it, again, is the big four conferences making two giant conferences. They're going to be semi-pro football. You're going to pay those guys to play, and the rest will go back to the way it was. NIL will still be there, but things are going to change, and I don't know how, but they're going to change.
It'll become exclusive NIL.
Something's in the air, I'm telling you. Now, again, I can't put my finger on it exactly, but this has changed so much in 3 years, dude. It goes from selling an autograph to getting enticed to go to a different school through external companies and things like that that are giving you hints that maybe if you enter the transfer portal, you get a lot of money and we'll be starting. It's too difficult to go back. So now you're going to see some kind of weird changes that could perhaps change the entire landscape of college sports as we know it. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. 10 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll take a short break here. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. Is that real, Stickman? Stickman sent me a text here. That Machine Gun Kelly, he's the rapper guy?
Yeah, he's dating Megan Fox.
The Megan Fox guy? Offered
blood together or something.
Yeah, they were the ones, huh?
Mm-hmm.
They drank blood or something. They're like vampires. He offers Travis Kelce $500,000, other incentives to leave the Chiefs and join the Browns.
Yes.
Is that real life? Did that really happen?
Yeah, I'm seeing it on. It's on Fox News.
So. What? What? Why? What are we talking about here? Is this what is going on? This is like transfer portal stuff.
$500,000 in cash.
What's he going to do with $500,000? Go on a Target shopping spree? He has money.
Yeah, but if you're not spending your money.
You've seen him in every ad that ever existed now. And how much is it Pfizer? How much is Pfizer paying him? He's done that. Now he's in the State Farm ads with Mahomes.
He's got a ring to buy. He's got a venue to pick out, a wedding to plan for.
I'm guessing you don't go buy and pick out a ring for Taylor Swift. She tells you what.
No, they want to be a part of the people, so they'll do that. Or she'll ask the Swifties to dissect the ring and the cut and all of that stuff.
Well, clearly this can't happen, but it's just dumb that he's like, what are we doing? Who? Why? You see what happens when you have Taylor Swift in your organization, Stickman? You invite all the crazies, man. Now you got Machine Kelly, man. That guy's something else. He's coming at you. All right, third hour of the show coming up. I'm going to talk about Tad Boyle, what he had to say at the end of last night's game, and KJ Simpson. Thursday night special, final hour of the show, coming up next.